Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Welcome to Quote Me, a weekly podcast that seeks to encourage, inspire, and lift you up to be all you were created to be. Words are powerful. Recognizing and celebrating the impact they have on our lives can comfort or challenge us, or both at once. I'm your host, Lindsay Schlegel, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I hope we can honor the truth, beauty, and goodness of well-chosen language, and so glorify God. Let's begin. My guest today is Deanna Bartolini. She's a writer, speaker, and retreat leader who just formed an online community called An Everyday Catholic. Deanna, welcome.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
I am doing pretty well. Thanks for hanging out with me today.
I'm excited to be here.
Well, thanks. I had so much fun being on your show, and I'm so grateful that you're here on mine. We had such a good chat that day.
We did. We did.
So today we're going to talk about a quote from Julian of Norwich. We don't say Norwich, I think. I'm of English descent. I should know this.
Yeah.
Norwich, I think, is what we say.
All right. We could go with that.
Sure. And our quote today is, "All will be well." Can you tell us where you came across this quote?
So many years ago, I had a book group, and we read some really good books. And one of the books we chose one time was from Julian of Norwich, Showings or Shoeings. There's two different translations, maybe like the Norwich, the differentiation there.
We'll link to it in the show notes so you don't have to worry.
Yeah. So at any rate, Julian is a very interesting woman. And we liked to read things that were a little bit obscure and different, things that you didn't necessarily encounter in your usual meandering through a Catholic bookstore, right? And this certainly fit the bill. So Julian was an anchoress, and she lived by herself in England, and it was late 14th century. So they estimate she was born in 1342, estimate died in 1423. And she was a mystic. And then, as is often the case, after she died, they found her this text of these visions that she had. And so this book are the 16 showings or revelations, visions that God gave to her in her lifetime.
That sounds amazing.
It is amazing. And when you read it, you kind of have to remember, though, that this is from a really long time ago.
Right.
Because she talks about things that we don't necessarily talk about as much. But I think that overall, the message that you get, lots of different messages, but mostly God loves us, that understanding Christ's passion and death and resurrection allows us to take part in that mystery in some small way and really helps us to be better people in our life, on our faith journey. and that God is mercy. So, you know, there's twofold. There's the undying truths that she talks about, and then there are the things that you kind of have to go, I don't know that I'm putting on a hair shirt this morning.
There's got to be a 21st century analogous act that is not quite that. Like, where would you go? Where would you find one?
Maybe it's not having caffeine. I don't know. Sure. Maybe it's doing burpees.
neither of those sounds good to me.
Burpees are very painful, but those might be similar to a hair shirt. I don't know. sorry. So you kind of have to look through it through that lens, right? And not make judgments about how she arrives at some of her conclusions, but that her conclusions are still the things that we need and want to hear today.
Right. And I'm sure someone who made those conclusions, someone who came to those conclusions in our culture, if she could look at them, she would say, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know, the details that are part of our time and place, and God is in all things, but the universal truths are what we need to be looking at.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we do get either drawn in too much, we either get drawn too much into the passion part of Christ's life or too far into the resurrection part and kind of forget the other bit. But those two, they have to work together. We have to give time and the energy of our hearts to both of them, because you don't have one without the other.
No, exactly. Exactly. They go together, because you're right. There is no, you can't have one and not the other, then it would not have been what it is.
Right.
So,
and because we have both of things, that's why all things will be well, is because we have both of these things to meditate on, and because they happened, even more than us meditating on them, because they actually happened. And
yes,
that makes a difference in who we are and our relationship with the Lord.
Yes. So when in the quote, all will be well, specifically comes from her 13th revelation from God. So well into the revelations, she has this quote that, you know, all will be well. And it's in the context of talking about sin and how sin hinders us and holds us back from, you know, one, from being the people God wants us to be, from following Jesus fully. And so that though that sin is always going to be present, all will be well. And the whole quote actually is, all will be well, and all will be well, and every kind of thing will be well. And typically it tends to shorten, you know, to all will be well, which really does sum it up, right? And she just talks about how that sin does not have to be the substance that we turn to. We can turn to Christ.
Right.
And get rid of that sin by turning to him constantly.
Right. And even in impossible situations, place times when we feel like this can't be forgiven, or there's, you know, I'm in too deep. That's never the case.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things she also says in this same chapter, it says that the words revealed most tenderly, showing no kind of blame to me or to anyone who will be saved. And it would be most unkind to blame God on account of my sin, since he does not blame me for my sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it really is a huge, it's hugely about God's mercy. But I know that I use that quote when I just feel like nothing is going right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have those moments, sometimes days, where all the things that you're trying to accomplish for whatever reason are not getting done.
Yeah.
Whether it be technology is not cooperating, whether, you know, the washing machine is overflowing, whether there's a huge traffic jam, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, what is going on?
Right.
Why is this happening? Is this personal? I often think that. Is this personal?
Right. Right. We take the blame for things really easily. Like, I did something that caused this. Maybe not. Maybe. Sometimes, a lot of the time, no. there's so many other forces that are acting on our lives, and we're our forces on so many other people's lives. Like, we kind of get lost in that and think, well, I'll fix it, right? I'll figure out what I did wrong, and somehow I'll fix that, and then it will go back to the plan that I thought was a good idea. And God's like, you're so precious, little one. That's right. Not how it works.
You could almost imagine, you can see him patting us on the head going, sure, sure, honey. Sure, sure.
Okay, sure. Go on that line of reasoning and see how far it takes you.
Yeah, that's what happens. But I think when you go back to this quote in the context, you know, that all will be well, and it's about mercy, and that all of the things, you know, extending the quote a little bit further, really, all of the things that we worry about and that we stress about often are not things that we should be worrying or stressing about, things that are going to pass.
Yes. And we're not paying attention to the things that we probably should be worrying a little bit more about.
Right.
Or not necessarily worrying, but giving more of our attention to.
Yes. I think worry in general is not a good word. I don't like the word worry anymore. I try to say to be concerned, because concern, mm-hmm. you know, there are times that you need to be concerned about things, but yeah. Concern and worry are two different things. Worry seems sometimes frenetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And not controlled. Whereas concern is like
more of a knee-jerk reaction than I've actually contemplated what's going on here.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, if someone is sick and in the hospital, of course you're concerned, which means you're trying to figure out, you know, what's the best course of action.
Right.
Whereas worry just implies, you know, being on that hamster wheel and not getting off of it.
Yeah. And being concerned, I think it's kind of easier to let God into our concerns than sometimes it is into our worries. Because I think when I'm worried about something, my mind can go in a kind of circular direction and not really pay attention to what's going on outside of the thing I'm worried about. You know, you get so involved in it. That
very true.
Monologue is like, yeah, you're right, like that hamster on a wheel.
Right. And so that's, again, that time when I can sort of take a deep breath and say, okay, yes, there's this problem. Yes, there's this sin, but all will be well. And I have that confidence in Christ.
Right. Right. And when you're saying all will be well, you're professing that you believe in God's mercy and you trust him. And if you're worried about it, then you're questioning those things.
Right. And, you know, it's so much easier when you're not in a good place where things are not going the way you want them to be going to say, okay, I need to step back and I need to put my faith in him who has done all things and works through me to do all things. And so that, again, you go back to all will be well, trusting in him. And it's not a cop-out, you know, it's not a cop-out. It really is about turning over our anxiety, our fears, and asking him to help us to fix them. And sometimes he tells you, do nothing. And sometimes he says, okay, do this. But it's that trust to say when he says do nothing, he really means it, that somehow or another it will be resolved by you walking away.
Right. And do you trust him enough to let his plan fall into place and not try to interfere with it?
That's it. Yeah. And just if it, you know, there, when you read Julian of Norwich, I still can't say it the right way. Sorry. that you read this and you realize that, you know, we think that life must have been much more difficult back then. Right? Because we look at our world now and it should be so easy because we have technology, we have transportation, we have indoor plumbing, we have all those things, right? I am fond of indoor plumbing, though.
And thinking of refrigerators, I'm also.
And yes. But the basic concerns of life really have not changed very much, have they?
Right.
And that's why what she talks about is universal. And not just for her time and place.
Right. And the same thing that her sisters found back in the day, we can now buy on Amazon.
Yeah.
Like reviews of it and ratings. It has really good ratings, in case you guys are wondering. So I have another question. Can you tell us how you found, I love that you looked for kind of more obscure Catholic or Christian books, but how did you find them?
How did we find them in general?
Yeah, for your book club. Like, people were suggesting different books, but was it word of mouth or were you going through, you know, going through bookstores and libraries and things? And
well, so there were only five of us, which I think made it easier to mm-hmm. find books. And we all knew that we were not looking for the typical mainstream book, right? We wanted something that was really going to stretch us spiritually, intellectually. And please don't take that to sound like we thought we were so smart.
No. I think you're trying to just give some light to the things that don't get the press. I think that's awesome.
Exactly. And so that's really what we looked for. And we're all women. And so we tended to not always go toward women, but certainly women that we thought would be able to teach us something outside of the usual. Mm-hmm. So we weren't reading what would be called a popular book, but rather things that really spoke to us for what we were looking for at that time. I think because it was just so few of us, we were able to do that. One year we actually together did the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius using a book that the head of the order had written maybe 25 years ago now. And that was also a really good book to use. And in a sense, we were almost acting as each other's spiritual directors in an informal sense, you know.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to build friendships.
It was. And the thing was that we were very close, even though our life was very different. Some of us worked full time. Some of us had young children, older children, but it didn't matter because we were drawn together through faith and through our love of really studying these books. And what we would do is we would meet every week and we would only read, depending on the book, like two or three chapters at most. And so we really went in depth.
Yeah. Instead of the whole thing. And if you didn't finish it, you're kind of left out of the conversation.
Right. Yeah. And really, how can you discuss a whole book in 2 hours?
Yeah.
So we were able to go more slowly and to really, you know, look at the things that we were learning and always coming back to what does this have to do with me today, now?
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, the church gives us so many great saints and their writings that say these are universal. Well, they're not going to be universal unless we ask that question.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And the point of it, I mean, Jesus is not concerned with how much academic knowledge we have. He's concerned with what our hearts are.
Exactly. And it was interesting because it actually came out of a Bible study, but we didn't usually do Bible studies. We would just read other types of books that really struck us, especially, you know, the women saints and just different things that really spoke to how do you live out your faith on an everyday level with this tension of being in the world, not of the world.
Right.
You know, and I just, we always found it interesting that even though many times we were far removed in time from these writers, the experiences transcended that. They really, really did.
That's beautiful. Oh, we have to wrap it up here, but I want to take one more minute to talk about your new community, Everyday Catholic Community, which sounds like it does a lot of what you just described you were doing in your book club.
A little bit. It's a little bit different because it's not in person. It's online. So I literally have just started it, and I'm getting ready to do a third webinar this month. So it's a series of webinars, basically live webinars that people can hop onto for free. And I give you a study guide, so to speak, of things to work on in between. And I'm trying to use two things, scripture and just things from, you know, the great writings that we have to show us how to live as an everyday Catholic. You know, being a Catholic doesn't have to be hard. I think sometimes we make it complicated, mm-hmm. and I don't think it is. I think it is about loving God, loving our neighbor, and being the people that he calls us to be. And so the purpose of this online community is just, is really to equip people in a way, though, that they can also ask questions and get them answered in a non-threatening, non-judgmental environment. So that's really what I'm striving for with that.
Well, that sounds fabulous. And I'm going to link to it in the show notes. So I hope you guys go and check that out. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Thank you. It's always fun to talk to you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, and this book is on my it's on my to read list. I think it that sounds really beautiful. And I'm really grateful that you brought her into our lives. So thank you for that.
Well, you're very welcome.
Listeners, as always, to suggest a quote or a guest, follow the show on Instagram, quoteme_podcast, or contact me at my website, lindseyschlegel.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review wherever you find your shows, and tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY, that's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Redbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.